अच्छा जी। Morning.
Hey, good morning. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it's a great time to be here. You know, how many are getting ready for Chinese New Year already? Wow. How many of you have had your first lo hei? I've only had one so far. That was actually several weeks ago. So I really got a head start, but now I've kind of slowed down. But it's great to be with you. Thank you, Pastor, for the honor to be here with you. One thing as we go into the Word of God this morning is Bible, paper, pen. Now, I know we don't use paper anymore, and we don't use the pens. We use the Samsung, the Galaxy, the iPhones, and all that. But take notes. So tell your neighbor, take notes. Take notes. It's very important. Because as we look into the Word of God, I want us to talk about how we need to develop our spiritual identity. You know, identity is something that is very, very important, especially it's highlighted at this time because of the cyber attacks, stolen data, identity, and identity theft. These are all big issues today. So I want to share about another identity that I feel is even more critical, and that is your spiritual identity. To know your spiritual identity and to develop it, not just let it be stagnant. If you look at the 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10, I'm reading from the NIV translation. But by the grace of God, Paul says, I am what I am, and His grace to me was not in vain. It was not without effect. Now, this is where right in the margin of your Bible. In other words, God's grace produced something in his life. Continuing on, he says, no, I worked harder than all of them, and yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me. Now listen, friends. Here's the Apostle Paul pointing out to us that even if you're not sure of who you are, no matter where you are in life's journey, we can be changed by the power of God. We can be changed by the grace of God. Tell your neighbor, be changed. Daniel also gives us some words of wisdom concerning times and seasons in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21. Daniel says, He, God, changes times and changes seasons. So notice, God is the one who's wanting to move us from one time, one season in our life to another one. And when God moves us from one season to another, it's always for escalation. Say escalation. God wants to lift us to another level. God says He will give us the enough that we need to change, to make a shift in, so that our lives are more fruitful life. He has prepared, you don't have to wait for it, you don't have to beg for it, but you do need to make the shift. In other words, you must cooperate with the Word of God, you must cooperate with the Spirit and the grace of God to be able to shift. But you see, the problem with most of us is that God has probably given you more revelation and more understanding of the Word of God, more anointing and more anointing than you're using right now. Yes or no? No answer, but heads are bobbing. Now, that depends on, you know, if you're in India, then, you know, this is okay. This is yes. So it doesn't matter. Okay, but just understand, God has given us so much. There is a reservoir of potential in each one of you. A reservoir of potential that often we neglect, especially the spiritual angle. We neglect it because we concentrate on the physical. We concentrate on developing in the physical realm, our skills, our job, our levels of understanding or negotiating, whatever, wherever we are in the marketplace. But Scripture is clear. God gives everyone talents and gifts. And if God gives us talents, which He does, and if He gives us gifts, which He does, then He expects us to use them for the kingdom. So elbow your neighbor and say, come on, get with it. Well, there's something more. That means if you will just start using, say, at least half of what you already know, you would be climbing mountains and soaring with eagles. There's so much more inside. But God, listen, God is a God of transformation, and He wants to use each one of us. Now, I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Paul again says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of His grace that He has lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. For what? He's done this so that we might fulfill His calling and purpose in our life, that we might become all that He intends us to become. Because when we know our spiritual identity, we develop our spiritual identity, we walk in the gifts and anointing, serving God, then our business and marketplace will take care of itself. We want to concentrate on the marketplace, but that doesn't develop the spiritual. But if we develop the spiritual, we'll be more productive in the marketplace. Come on again, notice Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3 and the first half of verse 4. Paul says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Verse 4, for He has what? Chosen us. Ah, that's prayer. Tell your neighbor, you are chosen. You are chosen. Wow, that means you are special because God has chosen you. Why? Because He wants to bless us. He has given us wisdom and understanding. That is a blessing. Wisdom is making, knowing how to make practical decisions every day. So therefore it helps you in the business world as well as in your family as well as in the church. You see, God gives us wisdom, but with wisdom we need understanding what to do. Remember we read in Daniel 2:21, we can see God is the God of change. That means God wants to and will position us for the times and seasons that He has prepared in our life. Come on, let me ask you, do you believe that God has created you in His image, yes or no? Do you believe God knows your future? Do you believe God has a plan for you? Yes. Then if God has a plan for you, He knows how to get you there. Yes or no? Yes. So if He knows how to get me there, why do I try to plan out everything without consulting Him? Why do I engage in things and not see what His will is? You see, listen. If God can get us into our new era, I don't believe we're in just a new decade, it's a new era, but a new decade within the new era. If God can get us into the new era, then He can move us from just potential to a fuller, fruitful life. Now, first of all, you have to understand that where are you now? What season are you in now? What gifts are you using now? What gifts are you not using? What gifts are you maybe not even sure you have because you've never developed them? See, the season you're in right now is not a wrong season. However, it does mean that God does not intend for you to stay in the season you're in now forever. He will want to shift us from one season to the other. So wherever you are, stop complaining. Stop kicking against the bricks, as I say. And just say, God, I surrender. I am ready to be transformed to Your purpose for fruitfulness in my life. Friends, that means it's time to discover and develop your spiritual identity for your fullest potential in God to be realized, so that you will be able to know the joy of the Lord day by day. Because each one of you has the potential for a fuller, more fruitful and productive life, both at home, family as well. But potential is nothing. Say with me, potential is nothing. We all have potential, but potential is nothing unless it is realized. I don't know how many of you are readers. Miles Monroe. Any of you heard of Miles Monroe? Not any of you. Okay. Miles Monroe is a powerful man of God from the Bahamas, but he was killed a few years ago in a plane crash. But in one of his meetings, as he was sharing, Miles made this statement to the people he was speaking to. He said, "Do you know the richest place on earth?" Of course, everybody. He said, "It's not the gold mines in South Africa. It's not the gold in Russia. It's not the diamonds in Middle Africa. The richest place on earth is the cemetery." Some of you are just looking at me. Some of you are smiling. Now, why did he say that? He said, the cemetery is the richest place on earth because all of the potential that God has put in individuals, they did not develop it, and they died and were buried, and all of that potential that could have been developed and could have been exploited and could have blessed so many, those potentials were buried undeveloped. So the cemeteries are the richest places on earth. Tell your neighbor, don't bury your potential. Don't bury it. Now, come on, church. If you can grab a hold of this truth, God will give you the knowledge and the wisdom to shift to this more fruitful life. But you must let go of your old self and as of your old comfortable lifestyle where you are right now. You must begin to walk the talk. You must begin to cast off your apathy and stop just coming to church. It's time to shift to become His church, not just go to church. You must be powerful in your home, in the marketplace, and in the church. You see, sometimes we want to hide behind excuses that we are holding back because we just do not step up and make a real commitment to Christ. We're satisfied, we think we're satisfied, just to have a little foot inside of heaven, but never become the vessel of honor that God has designed us. You begin to feel like, well, hey, I can't get there, Pastor. I'm not advancing. I'm so busy. I'm confused. Even worse, you can begin to feel guilty, feel like God has skipped over you. Others are getting blessed, but you're not. For some reason, you're just drifting in your walk with God. But imagine if you stand before God. Is God going to accept this kind of an answer when He says, "What did you do with the gifts I gave you?" Well, God, my emotions wouldn't let me. Not acceptable. My fears would not let me, but I didn't give you a spirit of fear. My time wouldn't let me. I gave you as much as I gave everybody else. Or could it be, come on, could it be that you're trying to discover for sure what direction, what expression of this fullness of potential inside of you that God is shifting you into? Because listen, God's fruitful life is something that develops in you as you walk an obedient journey with Him. But your journey is developing your spiritual identity for a purpose. Now, to help us in this, I want us to look at the life of Joshua. Because we quickly see that Joshua was 85 years old when he really began his fuller life. Anyone here over 85? No one. Okay. So that means he started his best potential at 85. You see, it was at this point in his journey that Joshua really embraced his true spiritual identity. He became a leader and a model that young men could follow. Now follow me, because I want you to see God uses each of us and the spiritual gifts, but we have to grow and develop our spiritual gifts and our spiritual identity. So looking at the profile of Joshua's life, we find, first of all, Joshua was a son. He was a child. He was a young man growing up.
Now, we know nothing about his mother and his parents, but if a man rises to a position of influence and honor, usually you'll find somewhere in their life there was a good and gracious woman somewhere in their life. Sometimes it's their Sunday school teacher. In the old days they used to call it Sunday school. As the one who laid that spiritual foundation in their life, or it's their parents. Without a doubt, Joshua's parents feared the God of Israel. And we can be sure that Joshua learned about God from his parents. That means the home was the first place Joshua began to discover his God. God was Jehovah, the God of Israel. But many of us do not come from Christian homes. We're first generation Christians, possibly. We don't have Christian parents. When we go through a very turbulent childhood, I know I did. But listen, you cannot blame your childhood on your future to achieve God's fruitful potential in your life. In each phase of your life, you may have choices, choices that you make, and those choices determine your destiny. The moment you and I make a choice to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, at that moment, we receive a new spiritual identity. Now, you belong to the Most High God. It's at that moment God can begin to lead you on a journey to develop your new spiritual identity. Maybe you're not always aware of God working in your life, but God is working in your life 24/7, even when you sleep. Joshua was a slave. Not just a son, but a slave. Joshua did not have an easy life. He was born in Egypt during the years of bondage under Pharaoh. Joshua knew something about a whip and a lash is upon his back, the almost impossible task of making the quota of bricks. But sometimes, even after we make that choice, that we need to see that we can still be under bondage. Bondages that need to be broken off. Even though we can have a good background, or if we don't have a good background, we still can come to that place to where we say, I'm under the covering of Jesus, but there's still bondages. There are habits to be broken. There are lifestyles that need to shift. Life is not always easy. It seems so many times, many reasons that we want to delay living out God's call upon our life. And like a slave, we're slave to the old things, the old habits, the old mindset. However, remember, Joshua and all of Israel did something we can do. They prayed. They prayed and God answered their prayer. God brought deliverance to break their bondage. God will do the same thing in your life. No matter what bondages or what habits there are, things that are baggage, I call it, from our old life, God can still break off the other things, because we can be in church bringing and dragging all of our baggage from the yesterday with us. God says you can't get to your fullest potential to soar when you're still being down here scratching with the chickens. And you see, Joshua enjoyed the joy of being fully set free and the excitement of crossing the Red Sea. He saw many of his countrymen begin to fall away from God and worship idols. We do the same thing. Listen, our journey also goes through our years of serving a taskmaster called Satan. He was a taskmaster who delights in keeping us in bondage. He enjoys having us as a slave. But again, we have a choice. Tell your neighbor, you have a choice. You have a choice to stay or to break out. God showed up when they prayed. God gave them a choice. But remember, even in that choice, God did not assume that they would want to follow him and serve him. God again gave them a choice, just as God gives us a choice. Let me show you the choice that you're sure you know. The book of Exodus, chapter 12 and verse 1. As you begin to read, you'll find God said, if you really want my power in your life, if you really want to commit to follow me, here are the steps you have to do. Kill the lamb, put the blood over the sides and the top of the door. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. In other words, when I come in judgment to those who mock and rebel against me, I will look for a sign of identification. Write it down. I will look for a sign of identification, the blood. The blood became a mark of their spiritual identification. Every person had to make a choice before they began their journey to a fruitful and better life. Will I follow and obey God? And then we find Joshua as a soldier. You see, he went through many phases of life. We could call being a soldier his marketplace. And in that marketplace, we find Joshua here. He became a mighty man of battle. He knew how to plan. He knew how to depend upon God. He knew how to depend upon Moses and Aaron, his leaders. But Joshua, remember, was when he was leading in that major battle. He believed God would deliver the enemy into his hand. But he had to learn to both trust God and trust his spiritual leaders. Moses had an heir up in there praying for him. You see, Joshua had to get involved. Tell your neighbor, you got to get involved. The battles aren't won. The victories don't come until we overcome the battles. We have to get involved and give ourselves fully to the vision of the church. Joshua had to give himself fully to that battle, to embrace all of the varying ministries offered to you in the church, the training classes that are offered, so that we can grow and be strong. Every spiritual battle that we go through is for a purpose to make us stronger. There will be many battles during. That's why we have to know our spiritual identity and know our spiritual authority. You must know who you are in Christ. You are a mighty warrior. Turn to your neighbor and say, look them in the eye. Say, you are a mighty warrior. Now, some of you are wobbling just about like Gideon. Who, me? Joshua was not only a warrior, he was also a servant. After Joshua's victory at Amalek, God opened the door for further usefulness and responsibility. Why? Because he prepared himself for the responsibility of leadership. You see, he didn't just stay in the army. He prepared himself for leadership. Every believer a leader. Every believer has responsibilities in the kingdom. We find the scripture calling him a servant of Moses. At times, to be a good leader, we know you must first be a good follower. Joshua exemplified that. We know the progression of Joshua in his journey. We're seeing how what was happening to him in each of his situations were all opportunities for him to develop his spiritual identity and who he was. He also gained revelation so that he could develop the call of God upon his life. He was a servant to Moses for years, but God had another calling upon him, serving God and serving Moses, but also becoming a leader, not just serving alone. In the steps of faithfulness in its season of his life, it was to develop him toward the fruitful life of leadership that was waiting for him. Another step in the journey, Joshua was a spy. Now, I'm not saying you're going to be a spy, okay? But remember, there was lessons of faith here. Joshua, along with the other 11, was chosen to spy out the land of Canaan, remember? You know the story. Along with Caleb, Joshua brought back a faithful report of the land. People reject, believe the negative of the other spies. So again, we find Joshua being strongly loyal to God. Can you be loyal to God in the testing? Can you stand for what's right, even if others stand for something wrong? Can you know you've heard from God? Not just to be contentious, but you know that you've heard from God and your faith is in a God that will make a way where there seems to be no way. He dared to believe that he was no grasshopper. He was not be defeated. He was to possess God's fruitful potential in the land of Canaan. Notice every step gives a choice. Tell your neighbor, every step, a choice. Then there was one other step in Joshua's life. Well, two other. He was called a savior. Now, in the Old Testament, Moses represented the law. As such, he could only bring the people to the border of the promised land. But It took Joshua, his name is God's salvation, to take them into land. And it's at this point Joshua is now 85 years old. But it was at that time that he would assume the most important command, the most important position of service of his life. Now listen, some of you may say, but oh man, I'm not 85 yet, but I'm still too old. I'm over 55. I'm too old to really achieve my potential. It's too late for me, Pastor. I'm here to tell you that's a lie of the devil. It's a lie to rob you of your rightful inheritance. But your rightful inheritance requires obedience on your part, a choice. Joshua shows us you're never too old to change. You're never too old to take on a greater responsibility. Listen, this is what I feel God wants to do in each of our lives today. Because you may feel, hey, Pastor, I'm over the hill. I'm too old. I'm too busy. This time God calling me. Well, not now. I'm comfortable. I'm just getting settled in. And I'm establishing myself. So, Pastor, I'm too busy. Tell your neighbor, the devil lies to you. The devil lies to you. You are just primed for the most important role of leadership like Joshua in his kingdom and for the church. God may be calling you to become a powerful witness for God in the workplace. He may be calling you to be a mentor in the church. He may be calling you to become a teacher of the God of Word of God. So go take a class in the Bible. You know, it may be starting to function as a leader of a small group. But no matter, God says you're not to be just a consumer in the church, but a participant in the kingdom. That means it's time in your journey for you to hear God personally. You must make a choice for God. But listen, friends, I'm here to assure you that the anointing of God and the grace of God, He will give you the enough for every stage that you go through. He will strengthen your anointing. As He shifts you from time to time, as God moves you from one position to the other, your anointing and your authority can increase. God will give you the grace for each level of achievement that you are to fulfill. But you must embrace and develop your spiritual identity one step at a time. Let me say it this way. You must know who you are in God and have a deep confidence in God of who you are. Faithfulness comes when you prove you're ready for the use of the gifts that God's put in your life. God increases and uses it. Even if you just use a little bit, God will increase it. Do you really know who you are then? Are you walking in the fullness of the potential God has prepared for you? You must make the choice. The gifts are already there. The anointings are already there. God has already put those talents and gifts in you. So you have to make a choice. Joshua, even at the end of his life, now he's much older than 85, but his last declaration is, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now what about you? What are you ready to do? What are you ready to achieve in God? What are you ready to believe God for? Remember where we started? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. By the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace to me was not in vain. It was not without effect. God's grace in you, God's gifts in you, may they not be in vain. You're shifting out of the drifting mentality to step up and say, God, here I am. Make my life count for you. May I not die with unrealized potential inside of me. May I not settle for the crumbs from the table, but the full banquet. God, may I not miss it. Friends, His grace is here this morning to produce God's purposes in your life. But it's time to move to the next level in your journey. It's time for you to say, God, today I want to surrender. I'm not sure where I am going, but I'm ready for the journey. Because you will guide me each step of the journey. I'm ready for the transformation. I'm ready for the next level. I'm ready to say no more boredom, no more dull routine, but God, the excitement and the power of your presence in my life every day, that when I pray, I know heaven moves. When I pray, I know God is at work. That comes in that assurance of making the choice to be identified with God, to take on the responsibility of a chosen one. For God says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have appointed you. That's very powerful. And so I want to ask you today, are you ready to say, God, I know you want to shift me. I'm going to stop fighting it. I know there's something more inside. I'm going to stop making excuses. I'm willing to get out of my comfort zone, to be molded by the Holy Spirit into a greater vessel of honor. Are you ready for that? I want you to stand with me, please.